As the Broncos wrapped up day four of Broncos training camp practice on Saturday, they got Sunday off. They're back at it here on Monday for day five. We break down all the storylines and a recap of the weekend as the NFL welcomed Broncos fans back to football. We break down all the action on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. Locked On Broncos is your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network. Your team every day, from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, Broncos analyst for the Locked On NFL Network and Nine News. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the show at Locked On Broncos. Like us on all social media platforms. Make sure you follow along or subscribe on your favorite audio podcasting platforms. Not to mention, mash that subscribe button here on the YouTube channel for daily video content and coverage all year long. Locked On Broncos. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, getting into our news and notes today, day five at the UCL Training Center here on Monday, the Broncos getting back onto the practice field, ramping things up. The acclimation period of running around in shells is coming to a close as the Broncos look forward to throwing the football pads on. Once again, you can expect the intensity. You can expect practice to ramp up a little bit more. But let's go through some of our news and notes as the Broncos, through 5 days of practice, some injuries, some guys banged up, some guys on the mend here, and maybe the Broncos looking ahead at getting somebody back into the fray and some team-specific drills. But starting things off, Mike Purcell, we know over the weekend on Friday, rolled his ankle, has an ankle sprain, and Broncos head coach Vic Fangio mentioned that he believes he's going to be out for at least a week, and they're going to see how things go. They're going to evaluate it on a day-to-day basis, but he's going to go through the necessary treatment with the Broncos medical training staff, and the expectation is that we should see Mike Purcell back just in time for joint training camp practices against the Minnesota Vikings, which is going to happen next week. We are 12 days away from the Broncos playing in a preseason game, and I know that there is a lot of excitement amongst Broncos country from fans that I've talked to on Twitter, here on the YouTube channel, or in person. Broncos fans are so excited. There's a lot of optimism entering this upcoming season. There is some skepticism, too, I think, from various crowds. But I think the general vibe is that Broncos fans are excited to be back at practice. Over 2,000-plus fans were in attendance at the UC Health Training Center for the Broncos Welcome Back to Football Initiative campaign set forth by the National Football League this weekend. Hall of Fame banners were raised, and Peyton Manning's flag was raised too at the practice facility. So this was a really cool weekend for Broncos country, but it is back to business here today. Josie Jewell is also one of those players that was pulled out of Saturday's practice as Broncos head coach Vic Fangio mentioned he was dealing with a little bit of a groin strain, kind of had some tightness in there. So the Broncos precautionary, they pulled him out. That allowed Justin Sternad to get some more reps with the first team unit. And Vic Fangio said that Sternad made some mistakes, but you want that to happen at this point. For a guy who hasn't practiced as much going back to last training camp, he was only a couple practices in before he suffered that season-ending wrist injury he had to have surgery on. So he's playing at full speed, making some mistakes. And the Broncos, Vic Fangio, Reggie Herring, they're going back and they're watching the tape to see how they can make these adjustments and provide that coaching and that correction to Justin Sternad, who, look, I think that the expectation for him is going to be pretty high this upcoming season behind guys like Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson. So you look at those two injury situations with Purcell, and you look at it with Josie, it gives other guys like Metelvin Ajim and also gives Justin Sternad more of a chance to get some more reps. We'll talk about Ajim coming up here in just a little bit here. But in terms of the quarterback competition that is ongoing between Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, on Saturday, Drew Lock won the day, and it was still one of those things where the Broncos, you're looking at every throw, and there's a lot between 7-on-7, 11-on-11, some of the stuff on air, red zone periods. Drew Lock has yet to throw an interception in practice. Now, he did have a pass that was intended for a receiver that was almost intercepted by Trey Marshall on Saturday, but Drew Lock had a very efficient day, going 12 of 15 passing. Three incompletes, one of them the near interception by Trey Marshall. The other two were dropped passes. Drew had a very efficient day on Saturday, whereas Teddy Bridgewater, in comparison, had a very rough day. He started off a little hot, and then he threw three straight interceptions. One of those was deflected at the line of scrimmage by Metelvin Ajim, and he came away with that interception there. You got to love it when the Broncos having these defensive linemen knocking passes up into the air. It goes back to last year against the New England Patriots, Shelby Harris deflecting a pass and Deshaun Williams diving, making an acrobatic play for an interception. So McTelvin Ejim, another dynamic that could be inserted into that Broncos lineup, specifically with Mike Purcell's injury. We're going to see a lot of it because he is that third nose tackle option. There is Shamar Stephen behind Purcell as well. So keep an eye on those things. But Drew Lock won the day on Saturday. Can he do it again here on Monday? That will be a big determining factor because Vic Fangio last week, he had mentioned no quarterback has gained separation yet, but he did talk about when quarterbacks, like if you have an interception in a game, if you have a really bad play, it could take a multitude of big plays to counteract the negativity of what that play maybe put the Broncos in if we were talking about an actual in-game situation. So Teddy having three interceptions on day one by Ejim, two of them by Kareem Jackson. That's a rough day. So you're looking forward to maybe seeing Teddy Bridgewater bounce back in Monday's practice at the UC Health Training Center, and we'll see if that's the case. But if Teddy struggles again on Monday, and if Drew Lock puts together another really strong day, we could see some things change. We could see a little bit of separation being gained, but the Broncos, they are not in a hurry just yet to announce a starter at the quarterback position. They want to let this play out organically, and so far I would say that it has. Outside of that, you look for Teddy to respond, as I had mentioned, so we'll see if he can do that. But the Broncos, they're back on the practice field here on Monday at the UCL Training Center. But Broncos Country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get into one of our mailbags. We asked Broncos Country to send in their questions that they had over the weekend. We're going to talk about some camp standouts so far early on in Broncos camp. But before we do that, folks, I have to tell you about one of the sponsors of today's episode of the show. That is our good friends over there at Built Bar. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft. They are easy to chew, and they are delicious, folks. They taste legitimately like a candy bar. Like I had mentioned, they have 9 amazing flavors, including the occasional limited time flavor like grasshopper cookie, which is fudge and thin mint put together. It's really tasting. I'm not much of a mint guy, but the fudge part of that is something that I really do enjoy, courtesy of Built Bar. Built Bars not only are the best tasting protein bar, but they're also the healthiest. The macros contain 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar, folks. So that is a good, delicious treat. And I've had various Broncos fans tell me that they have loved their box of Built Bar that they got at Built.com. They used promo code LOCKED15, and they got 15% off their order. You can get 15% off your next order at Built.com today by using promo code LOCKED15 at checkout. Once again, promo code LOCKED15 at checkout. That's going to get you 15% off your next order today. Getting into a mailbag portion of today's episode of the show, Broncos Country, towards the end of the show, I'm going to make a very special announcement regarding the future of this podcast here, but I can't wait to get to that. That's coming up. But we answered Broncos fans' questions on today's episode of the show, some of the questions they had about certain players in training camp. One of the questions I was asked, who are some camp standouts so far? Trinity Benson's name has come up quite a bit. Now, Vic Fangio mentioned it last Tuesday before practice even began. The Broncos are going to rotate so many different wide receivers in with personnel groupings. So you're going to see a lot of these wide receivers who may not even be in the initial wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 depth chart. They could be even deeper on that, working in with the first team offensive unit. Trinity Benson, when he has been placed in, has made some plays. His stock has risen for the Broncos so far here in Broncos camp, and there could be a chance he could make the active roster. It is a very deep room in the Broncos. They are evaluating all their options outside of Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and Tim Patrick. So keep an eye on Trinity Benson. Kendall Hinton's also been another name that has impressed in the action with the first team, second team offensive unit. He's made plays. He's come up as a blocker. Now, granted, there are no pads on just yet. So how realistic is the blocking by these wideouts? It's pretty much not there because you can't really have too much contact. You don't want to have that until you get the shoulder pads on. So you have to evaluate that coming into this week. And obviously next week's practice against the Minnesota Vikings, we'll find out a little bit more about this Broncos wide receiver unit. But I know that Coach Azani wants these guys to block. It's part of their contract. If you don't block, well, guess what? You're not getting on the field. And if you can't get on the field, then you're probably not going to be in the rotation, which means that you're more than likely not going to have a job. So a lot of these wide receivers are bought into what Coach Zach Azani has asked of them. And you always love to see that. A very coachable room, according to Azani. So excited to see how that room's going to shake out. But those guys have stood out. We talked about McTelvin Ejim has stood out in a big way in Broncos camp. He's caused a lot of penetration. He's also been a guy to command some attention from the center and the guard. So with Mike Purcell's injury right now with the sprained ankle, he's going to find a way to play himself into a specific role on the 53-man roster in a rotational role. McTelvin Ejim could be what DeMarcus Walker was for the Broncos last year. So we're going to continue to keep an eye on that. But those are some standouts from the Broncos training camp so far through the first week. The second week, we're going to see a lot more. When the pads come on, we're going to get a better evaluation on every player, every position than we have prior. So looking forward to talking about that this week on Lockdown Broncos. But getting into some other questions that we had from some Broncos fans, I was asked a question: how would I evaluate practice positions, just regardless, practice in general, with the players being in helmet and jerseys and shorts and shells? It's really tough. I think you have to take the data for what it is, like 7-on-7 period. I think a lot of people don't understand that. That is a glorified passing drill. And so for the Broncos, when the defense is locking guys up, it's good, but you are limited in terms of your overall reads, because in 7-on-7, there is no pressure coming into the quarterback's face. You don't have that dynamic yet, and quarterbacks aren't being hit. So I think for 7-on-7, for me, if I were evaluating quarterbacks, does he make the right read, right? If I know what the play is as an offensive coordinator, I'm checking. I'm saying, okay, hey, on this play here, if you have a trips formation to the right, who is the first read and did he execute that? If not, if that option was taken away by a defender, what was his next read? Did he get to that? What did he do there? So for the Broncos quarterback situation, there's so much that's going to go into it. But obviously, Drew Lock protecting the football so far, not throwing an interception. That is good, but we can't read too much into that. For regardless of any of the quarterbacks, they're going against a really good defense. We expected that the Broncos defense would make life hell for both Teddy and Drew, and they've had days where they have done that. So if Drew can continue to step up and continue to improve upon his performances, and if Teddy can bounce back, we're going to see this thing drag out a little bit longer, which, look, I don't think that the Broncos are opposed to right now. So there is that. But yeah, it's definitely tougher, because when you throw on the pads, you'll come into things with a clear, definitive outlook as to how to evaluate a quarterback competition, a right tackle competition, because you are getting that physical engagement. You are seeing how guys are doing against bull rushes, speed rushes, and that physicality part, specifically too, when corners are playing press coverage on a receiver. How does it alter the wide receiver's route? How does it alter the quarterback's read if his guy's not officially there, if the cornerback takes him out of a spot? You have to look at all these things in a different lens there. So the physicality side, we're going to see that specifically with the running back position. It is a physical position. How do they run in between the tackles? How do they shuck off maybe the first defender that makes contact with them? Do they avoid contact? I get it. It's training camp and you're going against your own guys, but you're going to see a lot of reports this week about maybe how certain players do, if they rise up to the occasion, or whether or not they disappoint. So keep your eye on that. But that's how I would evaluate Shell's practice. Really, when the pads come on, that's when everything, I think, gets amplified even bigger. That's when it matters the most. The other question I received is, what do you expect from Broncos rookie Patrick Surtain? To be honest with you, look, I think that for where the Broncos are at defensively, with the talent and the personnel that they have, my expectations on Patrick Surtain, PS2, I mean, I try to be as realistic as possible here. I think he's going to be the Broncos' number one cornerback option, but more importantly, I think that the role he's going to have on defense isn't just going to be limited to corner. I think we'll see him play inside the slot, inside the nickel. We could see him playing some safety looks. It really just depends on what the Broncos do, what Vic Fangio wants, based on the team and the personnel that they're going against on the offensive side of the ball. But I do expect him to be that guy. We've seen him so far covering Noah Fant in practice. He's covered Cortland Sutton. He's covered Jerry Jeudy. I think that he does well from a technical standpoint, but when the pads come on this week, that's when I really want to see what Patrick Surtain could do. But look, there's a lot of excitement, the expectations for him, the Broncos rookie out of Alabama, they are extremely high, and I think that's a reasonable expectation to have for him. Now, how are we going to measure maybe the expectations in terms of performance? Well, look, I'm not expecting him to go out this upcoming season and have 7 interceptions, but if he does, I'm not going to complain. Does he have a positive impact on the defense? Does he create more positive plays than negatives? I mean, you have to understand that, yes, he is a rookie, but I also think that for him, he carries a mindset to him that goes beyond a rookie. That's something that Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons have said. He doesn't act like a rookie, he doesn't think like it, and he doesn't play like it. We're going to see in training camp, we're going to see in those joint practices with the Vikings, we're going to see in the preseason, just exactly maybe what Patrick Surtain can bring to the table. I'm excited, but it's really hard to put a real definitive answer on that as of right now. But the expectations, they're pretty high. Our final question that we received on our mailbag here today comes in from a listener who asked about Tyree Cleveland. Some of the reports out of Broncos camp indicate that he has struggled with drops so far. So the conversation is, are these drops with Tyree Cleveland, are they concerning? I would say right now, through the first week of training camp practice, yes, you'd probably have to be a little concerned if he's been struggling with drops. And according to the reports, they're catchable passes. They're ones that are hitting him in the hands, they're hitting him in his arm placement on crossing patterns, and he's just not coming away with it. And there was one on Saturday to end practice where he could have had a touchdown, and it was a drop in the end zone. So You can read it a multitude of different ways, but I would say it's something to monitor. With Tyree Cleveland, look, I've been on this podcast. I have been hyping up Tyree Cleveland. The stuff that I saw from him last season as a Bronco really excited me. But now you have to continue to build on that. So far, he's having a little bit of a rough start to training camp. The Broncos had Sunday off, so hopefully a day off will help him refocus, and we'll see if he can bounce back. But other guys like Trinity Benson and Kendall Hinton, players who are emerging and contributing and making plays at camp, if Tyree Cleveland continues to struggle and these players continue to make plays, I would have to say you'd probably be worried maybe about the outlook of Tyree Cleveland's roster spot, because it depends on how many wide receivers, how many players the Broncos want to carry onto the active roster. And a lot of those other back-end players at that wide receiver position, they're going to be special teams guys, and they're also going to have a rotational role on offense. So can Kendall Hinton, can Trinity Benson, can those guys step up? That to me is going to be a big thing that I'm going to look at this week. Can Tyree Cleveland have a bounce back week? The hope is yes, but we will have to see. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get to a little bit of a special announcement regarding the future of the show, not to mention what we are looking forward to seeing this week at Broncos camp, as maybe the pads come on, the physicality ramps up a little bit, and maybe some players return to the mix. But before we do that, folks, I have to tell you about betonline.ag, which is the sponsor of today's episode of the show. And BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. With the NFL season fast approaching, you can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action in one place with BetOnline. You don't have to sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as the NFL season approaches us, and you can win some cash this upcoming season. So head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up. And when you sign up, use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit today. That's promo code Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Broncos country, getting into the fourth quarter of today's episode of the show, Lockdown Broncos. Just a reminder, if you love this show, if you're watching on YouTube, please do me a favor, hit that subscribe button, turn notifications on so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on your favorite audio podcasting platform and you have not yet subscribed, please do so already. And please, it would mean the world to me if you'd leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. If you love the show, leave us a five-star review. Tell us why you tune in every day, and I might give you a shout-out here on the show. But I appreciate your support, Broncos country, as we bring you daily Broncos news coverage and analysis. But I did want to start things off before we got off on today's episode of the show, before we get into what we're looking forward to this week with the Broncos, a very special announcement regarding Locked On Broncos. We will be getting a co-host. You'll have a new voice and face alongside with me every single day to talk all things Broncos football, to give you that specific coverage you're looking for the team that you root for on Sundays. And our special co-host is going to be Sarah Bettinger. You've had in the last couple of episodes here on the show with me, Sarah and I, we have a lot of great chemistry. We've known each other for quite some time. And Sarah actually was the first person to give me a chance to break into the media world, to write about the Broncos, to cover the team over there at FanSided. It's predominantly orange. I owe a lot of where I'm at today due to Sarah. He's a great guy. He has a lot of great Broncos knowledge. And I am so thrilled to welcome in Sarah as the co-host here on Lockdown Broncos. He'll begin the week of August 9th. So you're going to see him after the first preseason Hall of Fame game that is coming up this upcoming week. He's going to begin next Monday. So looking forward to having Sarah here full time to talk Broncos football with everybody here in Broncos country. But outside of that, what are we looking forward to seeing this week with the Broncos? I think one of the questions is, will we see Bradley Chubb do some work in team drills? He's been doing the position-specific drills here at training camp. He's been working off on the side, going through the conditioning when some of the team periods are happening, and he's been observing, obviously, the team periods from the defensive side of the ball. No pads just yet. So the Broncos, they want to ease him into team drills. Vic Fangio said that there's no rush. The hope is that Bradley Chubb will join the team period. We'll be able to do a little bit more outside of Indy, but there are no guarantees. They would like to see what Chubb is comfortable with after having offseason ankle surgery. He should be ready to go for the week one opener against the New York Giants. He should be ready at some point for one of the preseason games. Will it be this week? Will we see Bradley Chubb return to team drills this week? That is what I'm looking forward to seeing. And if not, look, I think that it will come sooner rather than later. So nothing to be worried about regarding Chubb's health, Broncos country. I know that there's been some concern amongst the fan base about maybe his outlook. This is a contract year for Bradley Chubb as the team exercised his fifth-year contract option. So we're going to see a lot of Chubb this year, and he and Von Miller opposite of one another. I tell you what, it's going to be fun football to watch if those guys can stay healthy. The second thing that we're looking forward to, will we see one of these quarterbacks gain separation? That was the theme last week. Vic Fangio said no quarterback has gained any separation in his mind. But now after Teddy Bridgewater's rough day on Saturday, Drew Lock's impressive day, back-to-back winning 2 days in a row, and all of a sudden now you have practice here today at the UCL Training Center on Monday, will in fact Drew Lock pull away? That's something I'm looking forward to seeing. If he has another really strong day, he takes shots downfield, and we'll see how he does against the Broncos first team defense. But when the pads start to come on and you're going to have some of those pass rushers like Von Miller working against your tackles and creating pressure on the quarterbacks, you're not going to touch him, but it's going to create enough to force maybe an incompletion or an errant throw. Will Drew Lock continue to build on his success so far that he's had in camp, and can he continue to improve and eliminate maybe some of the other areas in his game in terms of consistency, maybe some footwork stuff, but so far it's been decent in practice for Drew. Will Teddy Bridgewater bounce back this week? These are some big questions. These are some storylines that we're looking forward to seeing if they happen this upcoming week. And lastly, 12 days away, Broncos country, from the team's first preseason game on the road against the Minnesota Vikings. The game will be obviously locally on 9 News, the broadcast partner of the Denver Broncos. Very fortunate to be working alongside with 9 News. You can check out some of my written content there at 9news.com. Not to mention Locked On Broncos here every single day on your favorite audio podcasting platform and on the YouTube channel. But 12 days away from preseason action means that the Broncos will have a few physical and potentially chippy practices with the Minnesota Vikings. Now, it's going to be interesting monitoring their situation, as Kellen Mond, one of their quarterbacks, had tested positive for COVID, and all of their quarterbacks had gotten exposed due to close contact tracing. We will see if in fact that carries over or if that impacts the Broncos' potential plans at having joint practices with the Vikings going into next week. Something we're keeping an eye on. But ladies and gentlemen, Broncos country, football is almost here. We're just a week and a half away from seeing some actual on-field Broncos versus Vikings. I'm stoked about it. I hope you are as well. We're going to have you covered here on the Locked On Broncos podcast, here on your favorite podcasting platform and on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. But with that said, Broncos country, enjoy your day. We're going to have you covered with all of the Monday recap from day 5 at the UCL Training Center on tomorrow's episode of the show.